Here at Daleville Christian Church, we believe it's easier if you know what you believe, so you can live what you believe. So each time we gather together, we have a affirmation of our faith, always taken from God's Word. This one is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans in the first chapter, from the first six verses. We claim the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David, according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. The reading of God's Word for today is from the first chapter and the first six verses of the letter to the Philippians, the church in Philippi. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you all from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I remind you that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Pastor Appreciation Month is not about me personally. All congregations should have a time of appreciating the work of the pastor, no matter who is fulfilling or trying to fill that office. We also, in this month of October, remember that it is the 501st anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, which Martin Luther is credited with initiating, and he did so reading the Bible. And today's message is from the Bible through Martin Luther, the founder of the Protestant faith. As I mentioned, all congregations should have a time of appreciating the work of the pastor, no matter who's fulfilling or trying to fill that office. And this was the conclusion of an independent study on pastors and about pastors in the United States. Last week, we looked at a key Bible instruction from 1 Timothy chapter 5. God's word states, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." Of course, the Bible word is pointing to the congregation concerning all of the elders, not just the pastor. Now, we at Daleville Christian Church can't afford to rotate the elders as we used to do. But at one time, we did rotate people on and off the eldership so that we had over a dozen people serving as elder over a three-year period. As God's word says, they too are and were worthy of double honor. Now keep that in mind. The pastor might be especially trained to be a preaching elder, but the elders usually are not trained professionals, and they weren't trained professionals in Paul's churches either. The Apostle Paul had been trained as a rabbi, and we read that in Acts chapter 22, but we have no record of any other leader in the first churches having had that same training. Matthew, after all, was a tax collector, but as a leader, teacher, or preacher, Matthew too was also worthy of double honor. Now, having summarized the situation of the churches of Jesus in the very first century, let me paint you a picture of the church in the Middle Ages. This was the church that Martin Luther was born to, and it was this church that Martin Luther wanted to reform. Martin Luther began his reform in 1517. Remember, it was 1492 when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, so you have some reference there for the time frame. And this year marks the 501st anniversary of Martin Luther's reforms. When Martin Luther was born, society was a ladder with just three rungs or steps. The bottom of the ladder were the peasants. They farmed the land, their master's land, or their prince's land, or the baron's land, or the king's land. They also had their own plots of land to farm. Most could neither read nor write. Even skilled laborers belonged in this class of society. They were religious in this sense. They attended worship, respected the clergy, and believed in the three-class system. The second class, or step in the ladder, were the nobility. They provided protection to the king because fighting in war in Luther's day was expensive and required extensive training. The equipment for fighting, war, and protection was also expensive, like a horse and a suit of armor. The king, although the one in charge, belonged to this second class of citizens. The upper class, the top of the ladder, were the clergy. And there were several orders of clergy. There were priests, members of religious orders, both men and women, the monastic orders, the brothers and sisters who lived in communities in a monastery like the Jesuits or the Benedictines or the Augustinians or the Carmelites, Franciscans and the Beguines, and even the Clares. Monastic orders for women. One way to remember the three rungs of the ladder is to remember those who work, the peasants, those who fight, the nobility, and those who pray, the clergy. Perhaps you would not be surprised to learn that those who pray were also considered closer to God. The nobility are closer to God than the peasants because the nobility fight to protect the king who is king because God willed that they be on the throne as king. So in protecting the king, the protection and preservation is of the will of God. Now Martin Luther had read the Bible and had questions that some of his superiors could not or would not answer. Having read the Bible, Martin Luther saw things in the church that didn't make sense to him. Martin Luther, although a member of the top rung of the ladder as a monk in the Augustinian order, was not to question the church's teachings and traditions. Those decisions were made by the Pope and the bishops, the College of Cardinals. Martin Luther wasn't even a member of the religious order that was given the responsibility of teaching the church's beliefs. So Martin Luther's problem, the church officials thought, was that Martin Luther just needed to get with the program. But Martin Luther refused and questioned publicly the teachings of the church. It was a dangerous thing to do, since the Pope, the head of the church, had his own police force and his own army. Martin Luther was soon condemned for his teachings and his refusal to back down, but Martin Luther had a sponsor. His prince, whose name has come down to us as Frederick the Wise. Martin Luther's prince protected the monk Martin Luther from the authorities, and the reforms Martin Luther began caught fire across Europe. Martin Luther had what were at the time radical ideas about what a religious life looked like. Like Martin Luther, who had read in Paul's letters, Martin Luther read Philippians chapter 1, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. All God's people, not one class or even two classes, all God's people of Jesus' church. The apostle wrote, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Partnership in the gospel. The good work that Jesus himself is working in you all. Because It's okay for any believer to read the Bible and ask questions. A person doesn't have to confess to a priest. Any Christian can confess to any other Christian. We read that in the Bible, and any Christian can absolve sins because the Bible says that your sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. Martin Luther's ideas were so radical that wars were fought over them. Martin Luther would later say this about the peasant's daily life: changing diapers could be a form of prayer. Why could changing diapers be a form of prayer? Because if you had been given the God-given task of being a parent, and you were desiring to raise your child in faithfulness to the Lord Jesus, then your service as a mother or father was an offering and prayer to the Lord and Savior. You might know how much more this idea was shocking to Luther's Catholic Church, since everyone in the highest rung of the ladder were supposed to be celibate, abstaining from sex, and Luther says having sex and having children and having diapers to change is a fulfillment of God's will. Not a failure to do God's will. The year was 1517 when Luther challenged the church's teachings. The Protestant Reformation happened. Protestantism survived and thrived. Let's fast forward to the 20th and 21st centuries. Despite 400 to 500 years of Protestant teaching, many people still see the clergy as somehow closer to God. Some Protestant churches encourage such teaching because only their clergy can do weddings, only their clergy can do baptisms, and only their clergy, only ordained persons, can preach. Even the states of a free country like the United States require a designated person to sign marriage licenses and file them with the state. The clergy are supposed to do that. This situation was never intended to be so by the historically Christian churches, of which Daleville Christian Church is one. The Christian churches were insistent that the Holy Spirit is upon all of us, that we read that in the Bible. The Bible says so. Acts chapter 10, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you all with all joy and peace as you all trust in him, so that you all may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the book of Acts, Luke, the author, makes certain to quote the prophet Joel, where Joel reads in chapter 2, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, even on the servants, the slaves, the men and the women slaves. I will pour out my spirit in those days. The early church was a radical movement, the equality of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I shared with my mother that I planned to be a minister of the gospel, and she said, but don't you need to receive a calling for that? And I said, I have a calling for that. My mother was surprised because that was not my mother's plan for her baby boy. I was the baby of the family, my twin sister being 5 minutes older than me. But you and I understand that conversation that I had with my mother, that she was betraying an old attitude left over from the Middle Ages. Because you understand from the Bible and from Martin Luther that I'm not the only one with a calling. We all have a calling. A major feature of the Reformation, which Luther launched, was a complete reversal of existing ideas about ordinary work. Luther insisted that in order to be holy, in order to live a life which is fully pleasing to God, in order to be fully obedient to God, it's not necessary to become a monk or a nun or a priest, or to be continually doing so-called religious activities. Rather, in one's ordinary job and in normal family life, one can live a life which is fully pleasing to God. Martin Luther wrote, "A good work, when a person works at his trade, walks, stands, eats, drinks, sleeps, and does all kinds of works for the nourishment of his body or for the common welfare, God is well pleased with them." Martin Luther was originally training for a career in law when he felt a call to become a monk, which he did. Become a monk, that is. Luther later understood that to fight for justice and truth and the right could also be a call from God. But God called him to something different. Luther later wrote, "Surely anyone should laugh in his heart for joy if he finds himself in a station that God instituted or ordained." And for Luther, that meant being married, being a parent, and therefore changing diapers. Luther stated that person ought to shout and dance as he thanks God for such a divine act, because he hears and is assured that his position is full of honor, an adornment before God. Now this means that a servant, maid, son, daughter, man, woman, lord, subject, or whoever else may belong to a station ordained by God, as long as he fills his station, therefore is as beautiful and glorious in the sight of God as a bride adorned for her marriage. You and I have read in the Bible, even John the Baptist told the soldiers they could remain soldiers and be baptized for repentance. John gave them instructions about the kingdom. Do not steal. Luther also would allow soldiers to remain soldiers as fulfilling God's will. Luther is reflecting the apostles' words, Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord." Romans 14, "So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what God approves." 1 Corinthians 10, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Ephesians 6, "Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free." Did not Jesus also say, "Even if you give a cup of cold water in my name, there will be a reward"? Colossians 3, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Changing diapers can be a form of prayer. Pastor appreciation is appreciation for all pastors. All pastors. What does our bulletin say? Minister and minister to the ministers. That's you. I say with the great apostle, "I thank my God every time I remember you all. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you all will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you." Amen.